Hey, and welcome to the Studio Takeover Podcast. I'm your host and mentor, Cap Ford Coates. The Studio Takeover Podcast is where we speak with creatives and photographers from all walks of life about their successes and their failures. We can run the gamut from mental health to creative process, even down to the nitty-gritty of systems and pricing. But at the Studio Takeover, my job is to help you get to a place of sustainability and profitability so that you can live your life on your terms. Thank you so much for being here. If you need more information, please feel free to email us at support@thestudiotakeover.online.
I don't have desires for no reason. Like, I don't have desires for them not to be manifested. Mm-hmm. They're already happening for me. But I have to trust that they are and follow it. But it's only in that, like, in that flow, in that inspired action, instead of that controlled forcing it, because that's when everything shuts down, right?
Yep. Hello, and welcome to the Studio Takeover Podcast. I am Cap Ford Coates. Today, I am here with none other than Emily of Emily Pearl Photography. Emily, welcome.
Hi, Kat.
So why don't you actually start by telling us where you are, what you do, what you love?
I am located in Utah, very near Salt Lake, and my new studio is actually literally downtown from Salt Lake. What I do, portrait photography is my jam. I love working with people, but my real love is creativity. So fine art portraiture. I get really lit up by storytelling, connection, emotion, like painterly style looks, mm-hmm. Things that move you. So one of my journeys I'm on right now is using photography as a means for my healing journey. Mm-hmm. And that's actually been a really cool tool to start exploring in a personal way. So,
well, and appreciating, you know, so many people, they start their portrait business, right? And we can hyper focus on all of the business things and forget why we started.
Yeah, it's definitely a good sign to reevaluate, because that's actually something that's been coming up for me the last few months. I flip so much into survival mode. You know, I've got a whole bunch of personal life happening this year, and it's made it difficult to want to, like, mm-hmm. get up in the morning to go to my studio to do any of the things that I normally am so excited about, because I've gotten into that. It's become more of a job instead of my passion. And the whole reason I got into this in the first place.
Well, is the passion is the heart. And so, like, being able to find that balance, because you absolutely, guys, anybody listening, you do need an infrastructure to support you being creative. 1000%. One of the people that I help, she sent me a reel yesterday on Instagram, and it was some expert on stage somewhere, like, talking about how you can't systematize creativity and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, that's a load of bullshit. It's not only about, like, breaking down the recipe of creativity, but it's also about creating a system that gives you the space and the time that you need to be creative with everybody in your process, and also have that system in place to support the sales you need to generate to feed revenue to your business.
Yeah, it's been very clarifying to realize how important that key of creating the structure is. Why it's kind of the feminine masculine idea, right? The masculine, we all have both. The masculine's the structure, right? The frame for it all. But the feminine is the flow. It's mm-hmm. the creativity. It's the allowance. It's the play. And I realized that's kind of what I've been missing in my work. I stopped doing my personal work because I was so laser focused on creating a new life, a new stable life for myself. And all of a sudden, it started shutting down everything.
Right.
Like, my money flow started shutting down, my client flow, like, just everything when I stopped being creative for myself. And then that would bleed into my shoots. And one of the reasons people come and work with me in particular, like my clients come and work with me, is because they're drawn to the fact that I'm not that mm-hmm. cookie cutter photographer who doesn't see you, who's just in out, get you in and out of the door as fast as possible. For me, it's very important that I build a connection with my client in a way that I can be inspired by them.
Yeah.
And I love the ability that every single one of my shoots can be so unique and so catered to the person in front of my camera. And that it's open. Like, yes, I can plan certain things depending on what we're going for, but leaving space and time and the ability to create. I mean, I love having my fabric and my flowers and whatever it is, fog machines, whatever it is that in the moment I can be inspired by and go play, even if it's one or two looks at the end. But honestly, like typically, like we start and we kind of get what we need. And then all of a sudden we're just, everyone's playing. I have the most amazing assistant. She's like throwing ideas too. Like we're a very collaborative studio and it makes it really fun. But if I'm so focused on like sell, 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 I need this, getting stinky with my money, shutting down the only important things in life is like, I got in this interesting place where I felt really guilty if I wasn't being productive.
Oh,
so, yeah. And it got to the point where I wasn't sleeping because I wasn't being productive. I got into this weird, it's very limiting space.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yeah. And it was just interesting to not realize I was in it for a while until it got so bad.
It does get bad because there's so much judgment that comes up. And when you're in that space of being a solopreneur, you're the accountant, you're the marketer, you're the artist, you're the salesman, you're the all in the everything, right? When you're in a space and you are like trying to prioritize where you put your time and energy, when you don't meet those goals, you sort of forget that rest is also productive. And there's a lot of judgment and shame that comes up when you don't meet the expectations you know that the others that are around you hold for you.
Oh, that's so true. I'll admit, I know other people have kids that are photographers and they are incredibly successful. But sometimes I get jealous. Isn't that an interesting piece? I feel like my journey as a photographer has just been a huge crash course in therapy.
Oh, you know, one of the
self-discovery, like all these things that come up that I'm like, why am I allowing this to hold me back versus support me or
empower
push me forward?
You're looking at other people with kids who are like on the surface successful in their businesses, right? But that's like saying, well, so-and-so only charges this much. You're like, well, I can't actually speak to the success that they're experiencing because you don't know behind the curtain. And that's not to say that people with kids can't be successful. That is not my point at all. My point is like, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And, you know, you've been through quite a lot of just uprooting in your life just in the last year. Yeah. And so in starting over and managing those relationships that have been in your life for 20 years are now transforming also, and your business is transforming, it's moving, and you're finding like it's not all in place at once. It's pretty easy to look across the yard and see somebody else who's got what you want and kind of feel some envy for that.
Us humans are very interesting creatures, huh?
Oh, aren't we? God, we're a bucket of fun. That's for sure. Okay. So now you have like in the transitory space, right? Like you've moved studios and you have really been working on infrastructure and your mindset too. Like I know you came in for takeover, like with the shift workshop, and we're really like, no, I need to shift. And like that seems to have given you like some success and momentum. And now like, okay, I'm starting to see people again and la, la, la. Where does creativity fall in that mix?
Right. Well, and I'll be honest, Kat, like, thank you so much for that workshop. Cause that really is, I mean, you called it the shift. It's such an appropriate title. It came at just such an appropriate time for me because it did wake me up. Like I knew things that were happening up to that point, but I don't think I fully recognized until I did the workshop. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
I am doing this. Got it.
Clarity.
Well, and you know, I wrote that workshop because I have definitely found myself. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast, I'm like circling my heart right now with my hand. We are human. We are literally like walking meat sacks of emotions. And it can be really easy to kind of get tied up in that. But when you allow yourself to experience what it is that you want for yourself, because you were so hyper-focused on, oh my God, I've got to make some money. Like the creativity kind of went over here because we doubt ourselves, right? And then when did you allow like, no, I need this for me?
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Are you a photographer? Maybe you're getting burnout in weddings, or you love being a portrait photographer, but you can't quite get it to catch yet. I'd love to invite you over to thestudiotakeover.com. Book a complimentary one-on-one consultation with me. We can take a look at where you are and where you want to be going. And if we feel like it's a good fit, I may invite you to one of our programs. And if we decide it's not a good fit, I'm happy to give you resources to help you move the needle. Check us out, thestudiotakeover.com.
It's when I started to allow myself to rest and play again. When I started to prioritize getting some sleep, taking time away with my kids without guilt attached. It was, it's important to recognize that and to purposely create space in your calendar to do those things for you. Self-care. Like that was a huge piece, was realizing that rest is productive. And I would argue the most productive thing you can do, because that's what allows you to be inspired, to get creative, to even want to be creative. And, you know, and so now I've prioritized building in some time to work on my own projects, even if I have deadlines that I'm needing to meet. Like, it's okay. I'm not up till 3 a.m. every morning. It's okay to rest, or it's okay to flip the switch, like have some office hours, time that you are maybe working on business, and then you shut it down and go home. And if you get excited to work on something creative, then that's great. Go do that, or purposely set aside time at your studio. Self-portraits are huge. I love watching your example of self-portraiture.
Oh, thank you.
That's what made me want to start to play. And I'm really proud of, I've only done one self-portrait session I really loved. I mean, I got a silver for it last.
That's terrific.
So that was cool to experience, but it made me realize that like, hey, like I don't even necessarily have to go get a model, have this fleshed out concept. Like it's okay to just go and like.
To explore.
What happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because here's what happens when you do allow yourself to explore and create. When people are in business, especially like once they've found some success on the sales side, they can kind of look at different avenues in which to get people in the door, right? Are we offering them a dollar value? Are we just having them in for free because we want to play? Like, and you can approach it a couple of different ways. But the whole purpose of that exploration, right, that you found, right, like, okay, yeah. I only have one self-portrait session that I actually liked, but I also submitted it for awards and got a silver. Like the other 27 that maybe you didn't like, right, like they got you to that space.
Yes. Exactly. Because I was able to tweak as you go and see what's working, what's not, what, and even taking it to an extreme of like, oh, that's different. I didn't think that would happen. And I might not even like it, but what if I keep playing with it? Mm-hmm. And maybe it can even morph. That just triggers a thought of when I went back to school to learn studio lighting, graduated 6 years ago. And I remember we had an assignment in one of my classes that we had to find an artist that almost rubbed us wrong.
Ooh.
A photographer that we didn't like their work and then emulate it in our own shoot. And it was, oh, that was my favorite. I can't even remember the photographer. I feel bad. I'll have to go look it up. but there is a gentleman, I believe he's in the UK, but he would do a lot of nudes of himself, but in extremely unflattering ways. Like, okay. It was almost a body exploration, if you will. And like, he always was like contorting himself in weird ways. And it just, at the time I was extremely religious, we'll put it that way. So it triggered me that way, nudity. it wasn't pretty. I really liked pretty.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. And I just had kids.
So it's breaking all of these like beauty standards.
It made me realize that like I wasn't comfortable with my own body. Like it was really cool. So I did portraits of my stomach. I've had three babies. I've lost four. Like I've been pregnant 7 times, you know? So like I realized I didn't hold love for my body. And it led to my entire senior project of I was photographing women in postpartum. It, like the teacher's like, that's never happened before that someone's taken an artist that they didn't like and ended up loving them and ended up creating a whole project that they got passionate about because it led to some new thoughts and inspiration.
I can feel that over here, Emily. Oh, that's exciting.
But that is actually an interesting point to bring up that sometimes the things that maybe rub us wrong, it's just because maybe there's something there for us at the least to explore, to heal, but possibly for your use.
I was teaching and somebody in the class was sort of leaning into like, well, you know, it was about sales conversations. I was like, well, what happens when somebody says no? You know, and my intended question was around like, well, when somebody says no, what occurs in your world? Like, do you lose your house? Does your partner divorce you? Like, you know, what is it that you are afraid of that's going to happen if and when somebody says no, thank you? And they were like, I feel devalued. And I went on a kind of a tangent about how what other people think of you is none of your business. Nobody's saying no to you. You're a terrible person. They're saying it doesn't fit their set of circumstances right now or their value systems, right? And was talking about this with my associate photographer. And they were like, you know, I went to this therapist when I was a teen. And because I kept yelling about like, emotions are not facts. It's not truth, you know? And they said, emotions are not facts. They're not truth. However, they are sort of a flashlight for you to look at the truth that you're avoiding.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and uncover those truths that way. Because, you know, like we have feelings about art because that's the purpose of art. And when you come to it and you're like, I don't like this guy's work, I'm going to now take that as an influence to create this body of work. And now all of a sudden I am super excited and empowered by this body of work and how it's allowed me to feel. And those feelings are now shining a flashlight on what I know I needed to address, but also the other side of that, like when something bothers you, that's what you need to address. But the other side of that light beam is the opportunity and possibility that's available to you because of this new feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that was a long way to get there, but I think that's what is so inspiring about even that story, Emily, is it allowed you to discover a thing about yourself through the exploration of your art, allowed you to explore more of who you are as a person, and then turn around and empower other people in their own works of art as the humans that they are and go out about their day and their lives. And it's changed because of it. Every single person that you photographed is forever changed because of your influence for them.
Right. Oh, that's huge. Because it has completely influenced my work the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The exploration and play, I think, is probably one of the most exciting parts for me personally. But I think it can also be the most limiting when you're trying to create it within a structure. You know, like we talked to, you know, you've got several images in multiple awards platforms that there is a recipe to creativity. Right. There is like, okay, styling and light choice and posing and direction and storytelling and color grading and all of these components. If I'm not careful, I will fall only to that recipe. And then I get really bored really quickly.
Right. Because you know it works, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean it lights you up. And part of that exploration allowance, just to kind of tie it back in with that emotions idea, it is important. And I'm so grateful society is like raising up and shifting to all these ideas of not shutting down emotion, even when it's uncomfortable.
But especially when it's uncomfortable.
Exactly. Oh, Ooh, cat. Yes. Especially when it's uncomfortable, because when you can sit with it and maybe find out where it's coming from, it's actually another path to creativity. Because, I mean, it ties back in what I was saying, like me working on my own personal healing images, concepts in my work, because I was bored with my own work. It's like, it's not deep enough. It's not saying what I want it to say in a way that people are noticing. You know, I want it to be more. I'm like, I'm so bored. And I keep like all my mentors, I work with everyone, you know, they're giving me all the ideas, all the suggestions and things. And ultimately it's your own journey with it. But that exploration of like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. Okay, well, maybe that attaches to this feeling. So I've got a whole cage series I'm working on, right? And the thing is, the key is me. The key's around my own neck. I caged myself. I willingly walked into all the cages I'm in, right?
Sure.
Because they felt safe. And that's what I knew. And the reality is like understanding that I can free myself. I get to create my life. I get to have as much support as I want. I got the coolest dream inspiration when you're half asleep and you get the delicious.
Oh, like the lucid, well, like,
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. I'd been focusing so much on the cage and getting out of the cage that in this dream, I turned around and there was all of these branches full of other birds, other women, and they'd been cheering me on the whole time and I hadn't, other people, they'd been cheering me on the whole time and I hadn't even like recognized them in this whole process of, I'd been so focused on what was here instead of realizing there's this whole world right there. And I literally can see it, but I had to shift my perspective, shift my focus. That was really cool. But again, I had to like almost sit in my journey of like, okay, why do I feel like this? For the universe, whatever, to open me up to like other possibilities.
Yeah.
And that can translate back into work, because the reason it's, I mean, that's why art is important, right? It connects us with each other.
Yes. The maker, right, is communicating something, but they aren't there to speak the words to you. Right. So it's purely on your own perception of what is being shown to you. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, the saying, when you judge somebody else, really, you're just judging yourself, is true. But I think that is sort of the epitome of the receipt of art, because it really is through your own eyes and your own experiences. What do you take from this? Which is why when we are creating art, whether it's for awards or our own personal healing journey, or just simply for the sake of making the thing, and we're focused on what do we want it to say? Like, how do we evolve those skill sets so that that communication is so wildly like, boom, you know, like, think like Charmed vanquishing somebody, right? Like, you are getting this and it's beautiful and it's evocative and it makes you feel something and it tells a story. And then you start to really get into motion, because that becomes so addictive to be able to create in another language. Cause that's really what art is another language.
Exactly. Well, and I loved your word that art is evocative. Mm-hmm. It's such an invitation to understand yourself through someone else's creation. Yes. Like you were saying, I know art is subjective, all of the things, but most of the time, if like you actually can spend time with an image, my favorite art is when something that's not just like shouting it in your face, right? This is what I want you to feel. And this is what I'm saying. Like, that's, almost against the point for me. Like, I love when you have to sit with an image before you realize like, oh, look at that. Like, oh,
well, it unfolds, right?
Yes. Ooh, that's a delicious word. Unfolding.
Okay. So all of that being said, right, we can get really excited about the potential of what we can create based off of even a conversation, right? But really, like, you know, you have a really terrific focus on awards and growth on the creative space, right? And you've spent a lot of this past year getting your business in a position to support itself. And now we can start refocusing again on that creative work. What is even the beginning of that process look like for you?
Well, I mean, you know, I've got all the ideas stacked up and a lot of things photographed. I mean, my work is a lot in post-production as well to be able to fully create what's in my head, right? Sure. It only starts with the actual taking of the image. But again, it's that allowing space and time to do it. Mm-hmm. And just that piece of realizing that that is one of the most important things you can do. Because yes, we need to make money, you know, money's awesome.
how we pay for our homes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And to create more and to like do the things that we dream of, right? And it does bleed over into clients though, because it's teaching you how to get into flow. So it's that piece of what you were saying, like creativity, it's that recipe and you can do these things and you can have, and like maybe in awards work, like, you know, this recipe works, but the trick is getting into flow for yourself, but also with your subject. Cause I know, you know, there is a point in every photo shoot where all of a sudden, like all the ideas are coming. Everyone's like all of a sudden synced up. We have connection. We have like things are happening before I can even speak them because.
Well, it's synergy, right?
Yeah, it's synergy, but it's also like a place of in myself, I've gotten to because I have the structure, I'm doing the things, but then it's breathing, saying it's enough. What I, you know, being here is enough. And now I'm going to allow it to happen versus control it.
I think the point that shifts is going from like the controlling space of like, I need to understand X, Y, and Z before I can trust myself enough to have that faith that I can accomplish or even strive for the goal of what it is that we're creating. Like Emily and I photographed Emily in a swimming pool at a conference last year. Without even knowing it, you know, Emily came to this session, like sort of, it was a, hey, do you want to photograph? Like, I want to photograph you in a pool. Let's do this thing. And she's actually like got some personal hesitation, we'll say, around water that I wasn't aware of. And if you've ever shot underwater, it's a whole lot of like, go down, spray and pray, come up until you start seeing a composition that you like and things are moving. And Emily, you came to that session, like just like balls to the wall, like, let's go. But there was a point where we did find a synergy and it was like, okay, and go under and shoot and move. And we got some really incredible images that I just adore. But had I been aware of your history with water, I probably would have been more reticent.
But I didn't want you to know. Because I felt like that would have shifted the focus into like possibly concern, focused on the fear of it. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be okay. Like, I don't even put my face in the water, like level of that. And you know what we were doing. I was all I'm very proud of myself. I can't swim, but it almost was irrelevant when we were in that flow and shooting, because I was just so, I loved being there with you in this, because that creative force is everything. Mm-hmm. Like that is my driving force. And it was wonderful to be able to be the subject of something so just open and inspired and let's see what happens, because you had the vision of what you wanted it to be, but you don't know what it ends up being.
No, One of the things I wanted to ask you about, like, because your creative work is very specific and intentional, like you can see it, right? And there's obviously like, I'm sure this is not the way I expected it to look, but the shapes are there. The color profile is there. For me, it's often the opposite. Like I have an idea of a color grade maybe, but I know what I want it to feel like when I see it, but I don't necessarily see it until it's in front of me. And I think that's one of the things I love about shooting underwater is because you can't really control it. Like you can kind of control the light sometimes, but the shapes and the way fabric moves and all of the things, like gravity is very different underwater, right? So like that's one of the things that draws me to it because I have zero idea until I can figure out like, okay, what is this light doing here? What is this body movement doing? And how can I angle and work with that in a flow state with someone else? And that's one of the things that lights me up about creative process is how much chaos can I bring in to each element?
Oh, I enjoy it. Oh, I love that so much. But that's another reason it's so important to have community, mentors, going to conferences, all of the things, competition, because it opened you up to the realization of, because that is what I realized in my own work is it was, it's so controlled and precise. And I was playing, I mean, with so many different sets and things, you know, but a lot of my work is very, it does look controlled. And someone, I think Bella mentioned that, and I hadn't noticed it until she mentioned, I was like, that's where I get control in my life is in my work. And I'm like controlling every element. That's part of why I've been so drawn to learning Photoshop and creating in post is because I can control everything.
Every last
element. Exactly. Every single pixel is exactly how I want it to be. Right.
Ooh.
Going to conference, going to Portrait Masters this year and taking your class, it lit something up in me that I hadn't played with in so long. And that's the movement aspect and that letting go of control and that being present and just when it feels right, that moment of capturing that image, but it can only come. So I love both. And it's okay that like, I like that control. It was just such an invitation to explore and maybe start to shift my work a little bit because I do. I'm actually like dancers was one of the main reasons I'm in this career. My actual degree was dance photography, ironically enough. And I've shot very few dancers over the last few years of being in business. And I move a little with my clients, but not a lot. And so it's fun to like realize like, oh, hey, movement adds a whole nother element or chaos. Chaos adds more elements and that can allow just so many possibilities.
Man, you are going to love a game I have coming out. Ooh, it's so funny that like somebody, who was it? I was talking to somebody and they were like, why do you have to bring everything up about money? Like, why is everything about, you know, increasing your average sale or your revenue or your sales or, you know, insert thing here. And I was like, because my business deserves it. And if I get to do what I love, right, I get to make art, I get to experiment, I get to have a giant wardrobe, I get to have like all of this, then my business deserves to be fed and thrive by me doing what it is that I love. So when I can break that down into elements of chaos, right, and harness those things so that I can turn the faucet on or turn the faucet off to give people an amazing experience, why wouldn't you want to?
It's funny that we always have to, we go through levels of things that we think we heal, but then it's just another level of it that we keep
same healing. View, different altitude.
Exactly. Of that. That's why people hire you. That's why people want to work with you is for that. Mm-hmm. And remembering that for myself, people come to me because they want my creativity, my vision, my work, my enthusiasm. I'm an incredibly enthusiastic person especially when I'm excited. That was something I really appreciate about Sue Bryce. Is she said once, she's like, just say what's in your head. Because if you stop talking, people get uncomfortable. Mm. They don't know what you're thinking. They don't know if they're doing it right. So I gave myself permission to just let it all out. And my brain is my brain. And like, if people don't like that, they're not going to work with me, and that's okay. They're not my client. But the people that love that, they're drawn to me. That's how I create my work, is because that's how I am in flow. Typically,
well, it's magnetic, right? You know, that enthusiasm. Speaking of Sue Bryce, she gave a talk. I forget which one it was. And she was talking about the etymology of the word enthusiasm. Hmm. And enthusiasm is the Latin root is entheos, which is to be filled with a god or godlike energy.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so you come with the enthusiasm of a god in what you do and what you create and how you serve. Like, people are immediately magnetized to it. And I kept going because everybody was talking about how passionate they are about their work, and they just want to get paid, and they're so passionate. And passion means to suffer. So you will rarely ever hear me use the word passion in a way of where I describe my work. I am not willing to suffer for my work. My work is here to transform the world. Everybody that I photograph, like, has nothing to do with suffering to create it. Like, the suffering happens before it's released during creativity, because that creativity is what breaks chains. The chains we have of ourselves, the chains that we have of the expectations we feel and the judgments we hold ourselves to. And to be filled with a god around breaking the chains and of judgment and shame. Like, fuck yeah, sign me up.
Oh my God. It's perfect. Like, if you think about, say, world creation, if you come at it from like a theological standpoint, and just that concept of, can you imagine a god creating a world, or Aslan and Narnia or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. And they're bored and they're stressed and it wouldn't work. Mm-mm. You have to be lit up, because that's where your power is.
No, that's where your love is.
Oh, I like that even more. Yes.
That's why when we're in the world of the rat race and in the cubicle and doing all of the things that everybody else told us we should do, and then you realize you're 45 and you hit that wall and you're like, what the fuck is going on? I hate this life.
Yeah. We weren't meant to live lives that we hate and survive. Like, that whole piece of time freedom and money freedom. What would you do if you had unlimited time and money? Oh. I hope it's what you're already doing. You know, and then there is keys of, like, you are led. Like, I mean, you're fucking led. Like, everything that you just said of, you change the world by just being who you are and like allowing yourself to tap into that love.
Ooh, there's the title of this episode, Tap Into Love.
But it is a guide, right? I mean, I've always had the desire to travel, right? My family didn't travel. Always in me, I was always fascinated by the world. I love languages. I love travel. I love learning about everything, of history. It's a guide. If you listen to yourself and be open, like, I had no idea that my opportunities to begin to travel would come through photography.
Mm.
Right. It was always kind of this like, oh, one day when I have enough money and I can save up and plan the thing and all of the, and instead it was almost a risk. Right. My first trip out of country was to Italy, to the graphic studio workshop. What was that? June 2022. I got a passport. I put the tickets all on my credit card. Like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I want to be there. And
some reason that will propel me forward.
Yeah. Right?
And that's the having faith part. And that's when you're living in as an artist, right? Sometimes it's like creating the image. You don't see it in front of you. You don't see the shapes. You don't see the final product, but you don't know the how either. Like.
Yeah.
And, but you can feel it already before you even like click buy. So, That can be a scary place to be.
Mm-hmm. It is, because you know it's for you. But are you brave enough to love yourself enough to tap into that love to know, like, I don't have desires for no reason. Like, I don't have desires for them not to be manifested. Mm-hmm. They're already happening for me, but I have to trust that they are and follow it. But it's only in that, like, in that flow, in that inspired action, instead of that controlled forcing it, because that's when everything shuts down, right?
Yep. People who are doing things on faith, like with that blindfold on, knowing that this is the path for them, right? Without knowing the how, right? Just stepping out in faith toward a desire, right? That wanting, that yearning for more, yeah. Knowing that it's out there. Like, that's a pretty big fucking deal, Emily. Good job.
And once again, I keep throwing back to community, because I see you doing it. I see other people doing it, living mm-hmm. the dream, even giving me more dreams of what's possible for myself.
Sure.
I want that. That's enticing. And to me, I want that. Yes, 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 yes.
You know, when I started like really taking portrait seriously, that was like 2015, like borderline bankruptcy. I was bartending at four different places, like had just shuttered another business. Everything was robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Like, do I buy groceries or pay car insurance? Like that kind of thing. My mortgage was late for 2 years straight.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, I put a cash offer in on a 5-bedroom house on 5+ acres.
Wow.
And I had to be like, wait, I just did what? And that all came through the vehicle of my photography business and building my education. And it was just this big, like, realization of even like whether, and I haven't heard back about whether the offer has been accepted or not, but to even be in a position to look back at myself at 35 years old and be like, babe, don't you worry. You're going to get, you know, that feeling that you need. And
that is a question I have for you though, because you've been there and mm-hmm. you understand. And one of my struggles, if we're just being vulnerable and honest, is I am starting over right now.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you create that safety and security for yourself to be able to step into flow?
There's a lot of self-value in that space, mm-hmm. right? Because we kind of come into it and like, I'm starting over, right? I have to, and you'll find where your limitations are. Like, for instance, in 2015 was, well, I have to have something under $1,000, because everybody I talk to, it's just easier if I have $1,000. Well, and then everybody just started buying the thing that was under $1,000 and I wasn't making any money. So I had to begin to value my time and my work at a professional standard, which actually I was able to leverage to be able to be generous. So mm-hmm. to have those starting prices be relatively low, you're thinking that, well, like when I'm talking to people, I have to have some lower barrier to entry available to them, right?
Right.
That doesn't have to be something that's listed. You would do that mm-hmm. by leaning in with an offer that's just for them, right? That is structured in a way that supports them purchasing a larger package purchase. But that means that you have to value it so that you can say words like $5,000 out loud and not choke when you say it.
Right.
And then if there's somebody you really want to work with, and instead of fire sailing it for, you know, 50% off, it's, you know, I would love to have you in the studio. And you know what? Like, I would be happy to even offer you $1,500 toward your session with me to allow me to photograph you. Right now I've created a value marker, right?
Yeah.
And I've communicated that value. So they know off the top, like, she's given me $1,500.
Cause it's an invitation. You're not in a space of desperation at all.
Right. That's what it is, yeah. Is an invitation.
Yeah.
And as you grow in your craft and you network more and more, you realize when it's structured that way, it's not desperation. Even if you're in a space of like, oh my God, I don't have anybody in the studio. I need to get some people in the studio. What do I offer them? Right. it's still coming from a place that I put a value on my work and I wholeheartedly abide by it, I would love to gift that to you. So the value that you're putting on it is actually the value in hand, in cash. Would I give this person this much money right now to photograph them?
Right.
It turns into like a way to gamify things when you understand the structures of how you value your work and what you do. And I think that allows people to really lean into their confidence and their conviction about what they do, because now they know there's something to honor and stand by instead of it just being, it's my business. It's okay if you don't want to pay me. I hope you do.
Right.
Nay, nay, Fluffy.
Well, and someone
your business
here,
is separate.
$1,500 just to come be photographed by this incredible artist. You know, they're like, wait, what? And it immediately shifts whatever perception they had of turning it into, this is valuable.
Because everything you do in marketing and conversation and how you talk to people is all communicating value.
Yeah.
Sometimes positive, sometimes in the negative, right? But when you build your sales language around the positive value and how you sell your work and how you create,
yeah,
people around you can't help but be magnetized to you. So then it's really just about following the numbers. How many people did I talk to this week? Where are my sales coming from? Where are those inquiries coming from? How can I crank that faucet up?
Yeah.
If I look and I say the next 2 months are kind of quiet, then turn it on.
And you're just shouting.
But that's a whole other conversation.
Right. No. And to just finish that little, you literally change the way people see themselves. Like the images you took of me in the pool, the water images, are they're going to be like one of the most cherished physical things that represent my life in this time, because it embodies so much to me. And I know like you went in with the intention of creating that as well, but like for me being the subject of art and just realizing that like, wow, like look how far I've come, look how far from being in school, being so like uncomfortable and unhappy with my body to the point of being naked in a pool with a wrap dress on, feeling totally safe and comfortable to share it with the world and not be ashamed of it at all and be proud of it. And like, it's so representative of so many things for me. Mm-hmm. It's embodied this whole period of my life, of this huge transformation. I think it's just that shifting mindset piece. And you talk about this a lot that I appreciate. And it's, you know, it's rubbing off. We're getting there. I'm realizing that like, I'm not begging you to come work with me. We're creating something that you're going, that you need, honestly. Like if you're being called to this, you need it for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like it's so
even
much.
Even if you don't tell me what.
Exactly.
See, that's the beauty of it. Even if you don't share with your photographer that you need anything or you're trying to heal through.
You might not even know.
You may not even know until you're in the moment and that imagery comes to the proverbial surface.
Because you're creating as well. Like it's interesting as a photographer, as an artist, especially with clients. I have to meet them where they are and invite them to open up, to rise, to shift. It's all an invitation, but ultimately they're deciding the experience that they have.
It's the perception of anything in our lives, right? Is through our lived experience. But I can say with certainty and with conviction, I know the impact my work has because I have experienced that impact and the transformation that they walk through for thousands of people.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that everybody walks out of the studio and is like brand new person, right? But there is a level of confidence that shifts in somebody that allows them to leave here and make a different choice than they would have made before they walked in. And that's the butterfly effect. every single person walks out here and models for their kids a little bit differently, or asks for the raise, or starts the business because of the confidence they received and grew into in working with me. And now they have tangible evidence that that confident version of them exists in a portrait.
That's why it speaks to them and continues to speak to them and continues to affect their life. Oof.
Ooh, yeah. Emily, we should create a series, just a conversation where you and I just talk about emotions and art.
Yes. I am so on board with that.
Awesome. Well, Emily, tell me, tell the audience where people can find you.
Emily Pearl Photography on all the platforms. All one word, Pearl the Gem. That's my middle name. That's why you see me. I confuse people sometimes.
All right, love. Thank you so much for being here. And guys, definitely give Emily a follow, send her some love, and definitely check out her work. It will blow you away.
Thank you so much.